Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Good. I love seeing your smiling faces and everything. Can I tell you that God has brought you here this morning for a specific reason, that he has a message for you, that there are people in your life, people that you're sitting next to, that he wanted you to sit next to, that God is doing something in your life right now. And can we just give him praise for that? Yes. Praise that he is in control of every single thing, every single facet of our life. God is in control. Thank you. So we are continuing this series called Fence Destroyer. And yes, Fence Destroyer. So I'm not really good with titles. You know, some people are really good with titles and people have like really fancy titles and it's like, bam, hit you in the face, good title. I'm not that person. And so I decided to title my message Fence Destroyer Part 3. And so we're expanding this, we're in this series right now talking about God being a fence destroyer and he's destroying the fences in our lives. And Christian talked about how we put up fences with like the people around us and how we need to, God came and destroyed that fence. And the fence being the veil that was torn when Jesus Christ died and gave his life for the atonement of our sins, right? But which is funny because it's funny because fences, that's not a big thing. I was thinking about it the other day because we had just celebrated the Berlin Wall falling down. And I was like, why couldn't we celebrate like walls, like God's tearing down the walls in our lives? Why does it have to be fences? Like fences so small and everything. Like why can't it be walls? I don't know. He chose fences. But here's the thing. I like fences because it's personal. Every single person around here has dealt with a fence, you know? And fences are personal. We know fences. When we think of fences, we think of neighborhoods, we think of communities, we think of playgrounds, whatever have you. We think of fences. And that's what I love. This series about fences is very personal. It's getting in your backyard. So, yes. Let me just recap. So the scripture that Christian was kind of basing this whole series around was Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23. So if you have your iPads, your iPods, or your eyelids? I'm pretty sure I messed that up because no one has iPods. Everyone has iPhones. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23. This is where the whole series is based on. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. Like we just celebrated communion and we took a part in communion and we remembered what Jesus Christ did on that cross through his blood, through his flesh. We have new lives. We are alive this morning. We have freedom. We can enter into the presence of God because of what he did on the cross. And since we have a great priest, that being Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us draw near with the true hearts and full assurance of faith, with a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Isn't that something to celebrate? So let's pray. Bow your head, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Oh man, we just thank you for what you did on that cross. Thank you for every single thing, Lord, what you're doing in our week, what you've did this past week, what you're doing right now in this room, and what you're going to do in the future, Lord. We just thank you for all of it. We give you the praise and the worship, and we just ask that you speak into our lives this morning. Just speak into our lives. And help use the Holy Spirit to decipher what you're trying to say to us this morning, Lord. We just ask that you continue to work in our lives and continue to change our lives. And we thank you for every single thing. We pray for this in Jesus' name. And everyone here said, amen. Amen. God is a fence destroyer. And we have the opportunity to step into his presence every single day. I love that because I could be at Dion's, I could be in my car, I could be in my house, and I have that opportunity to step into his presence every single day. It's not just worship, folks. It's not just worship that we step into his presence, but it's the fact that we have that opportunity every single day of every moment in any place to step into his presence. And so, because I'm the worship leader here and I've been kind of doing this for quite some time, Christian felt it was a good idea for me to speak about worship because I probably have some little insights to the area of worship, right? So that's what I'm going to be talking about, is that when we step into God's presence, one of the ways we do that is worship. Now, there's many ways that we can do that. There's prayer, there's giving, there's encouraging others. But one of those areas that we use today is worship, and that's through community and gathering together and singing songs. As a church, we gather together every week and through song, declare the promises and the truths of God. We pour out our thankful hearts and love for an amazing God. We worship him and adore him, and we take those moments to lean into his presence. Now, I want to explain to you I want to give you guys a couple definitions of worship, because if we're going to take this journey into understanding a greater perspective of worship, we kind of need to start with a definition. So I have a couple definitions. We got them? Yes. Hallelujah. All right, first definition is by Harold Best, author of Music Through the Eyes of Faith. He says, worship is acknowledging that someone or something else is greater, worth more, and by consequence, to be obeyed, feared, and adored. Worship is a sign that in giving myself completely to someone or something, I want to be mastered by it. Another definition of worship is by Warren Wiersbe, author of Real Worship. He says, worship is the believer's response of all that we are, both our mind, our emotions, our will, our body, to what God is and says and does. Amen. Come on, Jesus, let's do something. David Nelson, last definition of worship, David Nelson, author of Authentic Worship, says, worship, and this one's kind of a little wordy, so, worship is the human response to the self-revelation of the triune God, which involves, one, the divine initiation in which God graciously reveals himself, his purposes, and will, and two, a spiritual and personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, anointed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And finally, a response by the worshiper of joyful adoration, reverence, humility, submission, and obedience. So notice how through all of these definitions, not once did it mention music. And I bet if I asked some of you guys, what's worship to you? Some of you guys would say, well, it's the 30 minutes we take before the message, you know? And that's not it. That's what I'm saying, is that it's not the 30 minutes that it can be, but it's not just exclusively the 30 minutes before the message starts. That worship is something more. Worship is beyond the realms of music, and we just use music as an avenue to worship him, to praise him, to respond to what he did, to respond to his character, respond what he did to us this past week. That's what worship is. And like I said, the reason why I'm telling you this is because if we're going to take this journey on to expanding what worship is, we have to begin with these definitions and expand our understanding. If we desire for our worship to be more authentic and intimate, we need to expand our definition of worship. How many of you guys want more authentic, more intimate, more powerful worship in your lives? Yes, a lot of people here. But let me just tell you that music isn't necessarily bad. I love music. That's how I first started. I love music. Anybody here lovers of music? Anybody play an instrument? All the hands like went down. Yes, but we all love music because we love music because, you know, it's like a hole into the soul. We use instruments to convey what our soul, what our emotions are feeling, and it's such a great tool for that. And we look in the past, we go look in history. And we see that countless times people have used music. If you ever watch a Civil War documentary, right? In the Civil War documentary, you have the battalion that's going into war, and they're about to battle. And what's at the front? You got the guy on the snare drum, and the guy playing the flute, right? And these guys are marching to the same tune. They're singing together, and they're marching into battle with confidence because music unites us like that. And that's what we're doing when we gather together as a church. We're gathering together with one mind, with one heart, with one soul, one body, and we're worshiping the Almighty God. So music's not necessarily bad. But here's the thing, because we're talking about fences, talking about worship. What happens when we build fences that hinder us from stepping into his presence? What happens when we build fences that hinder us from stepping into his presence? What happens when we build fences and no longer feel the presence of God? What happens when we keep fences standing between us and God, and then it becomes okay, we become okay with it? That's not okay. And I just want to challenge you this morning with your understanding of worship. Let's dive into that a little more. I fear being like the Israelites when God spoke of them in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. God says, because these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Then he goes on to say, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. I think what the scripture says is that God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. He's not looking at our outward expressions of worship. He's not saying, look at that guy, or look at that girl. She raised her hand. She's singing the song. She knows the songs and everything. She's doing everything outwardly of what looks like worship, but her heart is cold. Her heart is empty. There's no love for me there. That's what he's looking at. And that's what I want to challenge you guys with, is that God is looking at your heart when we come to worship him. And after reading that verse, God's saying, these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, and their hearts are far from me. And yet he continues, and so I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. I want to ask you this question. What side do you want to be on? Do you want to be the side that God's talking negatively about and saying, yes, their outward worship looks great and everything, but their hearts are cold? Or do you want to join onto God's purpose? Do you want to be a part of God's purpose? Because that's what this scripture says, is that he's, regardless of how they worship him, he is going to continue with his purpose. He is still in control. And that's my question for you, is what side do you want to be on? I use the analogy that it's kind of like a train, right? If you guys ever ridden like the Rail Runner, it's kind of like we're all at the train station, and God's vessel is kind of like the train. God's presence is the train. And the sad thing is, and the reality is, sometimes we miss the train. And God's taking us into places and taking us to places, and he's speaking to us, and we totally forgot to hop on the train. And that's sad. Do you want to hop on the train this morning? And this is the danger, that our outward worship isn't reflective of what our heart says. That's the danger, that our outward worship isn't reflective of what our heart says. It's all about the heart, guys. So much, in fact, that Jesus commented on this fact. If you go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 38, Pharisees are interrogating Jesus, and Jesus always has the best responses. The Pharisee says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. If we want to get our hearts in the right position, we have to begin with loving God. It's stated in this fact that what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your minds. Starts with loving God with all your heart. And my question also for you this morning is, how many times do we pour our love into things throughout the week? How many times do we pour our energy, our effort, our time into things throughout the week? Monday through Saturday, we're constantly pouring our energy and our effort into things, right? Whether that be work, whether it be family. I mean, we're all in different situations of life. And we pour our time and energy into these things. And yet, we come on a Sunday morning and we expect to God, or we expect to experience God's presence in that 30 minutes of worship. Does that make sense? I'm going to put all my time into sowing this and expect, like, that just doesn't make sense. The math doesn't make sense. And to kind of further explain this this idea, this kind of situation happened to me. How many of you guys were part of the fast that we did recently in the month of October? Anybody? Anybody part of the fast? Okay, cool. Open question for you guys. What did you guys decide to fast? Don't be shy, please. I heard like someone whisper social media. Social media. Anybody else? What did you guys decide to fast? Soda. Soda's a good one. Okay. Anybody else? Sweets, yes. That's actually, candy is a very common one. Somebody in first service said that too. Candy's the devil. No, I'm just kidding. I was talking about it with somebody and before the fast was about to start because I hadn't given much thought to what I was going to fast. And I was talking about it with somebody in Spanish service. And we were talking about what we were going to fast. And he said coffee. And I was like, no, I can't do coffee. Coffee's the word. I need coffee. Okay, so here's the thing. I have like two jobs. I work here at the church. I work at Dion's. Then I also have an eight-month-year-old, which that's a challenge on its own. Like, he's over there. And so I need coffee. Like, I'm always on the go. I'm always on the run. Coffee is my blood, and I need it. So I was like, no go on the coffee. Maybe another fast, but not this time around. So the thing is, we did a fast at the very beginning of this year, and I decided to fast social media. Anybody decide to fast social media? Oh yeah, you said social media. Sorry. Yeah, social media. So like Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, what have you, and. The thing was, so the fast started Monday, then went to like Sunday, and I was super excited about it. I'm like, yes, I'm going to take back the enemy's territory that he's put in my life. And so Monday comes around, and I'm like on fire. I'm like, yes, I'm super, I delete like Facebook, I delete Instagram, and awesome, great. Tuesday comes around, yes, still on fire. Are you on fire? Because I'm on fire. That's what I was telling people. Wednesday comes around. And Wednesday was even greater because Wednesday we have our youth services. And so I'm talking about it with other people. Like, what are you fasting? What? I'm fasting this. That's crazy. Coffee? You're insane. And so it's awesome because we were like being the church and we were encouraging each other. Like, that's good. Like, that's good that you're fasting that. Keep going on that. And so Wednesday, I was super on fire, like going back to the house and like, oh yeah, this is easy. Thursday, it hit me like a wall. It hit me like a wall. And I was like, and I thought about it. I'm like, why do I have this like craving? Why do I feel like I want to go back to Instagram or Facebook? What is this craving? I didn't know at the time, but I kept asking myself that question and kind of just kept it in the back of my mind. Fast number two, and that's the one that we just got done finishing in the month of October. This time I decided to step up the ante because social media kind of became easy for me, and I'm the person that likes a challenge. And so So I was like, Netflix and YouTube, that's what I'm, oh, and social media. So I'm going to make it super hard on myself. I'm going to do social media, Netflix and YouTube. Now the thing about me, like you're thinking Netflix and YouTube, well, that's crazy. Well, for some of us, if you guys are like really into Netflix or YouTube, that could be like a really big thing for you guys. For me, YouTube was a big thing because I'm one of those people that like to, you know, had a long day at work, and you just kind of unwind, you want to unwind, right? You want to be a vegetable for a little bit. And so I would go to YouTube, and I'd watch the videos, and you know how it has the up next or your suggestions, and then you're like, oh, that video seems interesting, so I'm going to watch that video. Oh, they have a video about, like, how to make a gummy bear, a gourmet gummy bear. I want to watch that. And it's just like, these videos are so random, and, like, they have no relevance to my life. When am I ever going to need to make a gourmet gummy bear? I just buy them from the store. Netflix is the same way. How many of you guys watch Netflix? Yes, there's some really good shows on Netflix. My wife and I just finished watching Breaking Bad, and that took us a couple months. But here's the thing, and Breaking Bad is so good, it's so tempting, because like once you finish an episode, you'll want to go on to the next episode. And so they leave you on a cliffhanger, and you're like, oh man, I gotta watch that next episode. And it's even worse because the episodes are like 45 minutes. So you can literally waste a whole day watching these Breaking Bad episodes. And I feel like that same situation was happening to me. Like I would go to Netflix and just binge watch these episodes, trying to get rest from it because I just wanted to be a vegetable. And same thing, right? Fast number two happened. Monday, going strong, heck yes. Tuesday, let's do this. Wednesday, come on, let's go, Jesus. Thursday, what the heck? super difficult. And I'm like, well, if I watch TV, it's not the same thing, right? I was trying to persuade myself to do these things. And but I stood firm. I stood firm. And I challenged myself, and I pushed myself, and I said, no, no Netflix, no YouTube, no social media. And the thing is, with those fasts, you have to replace it with something. And that was the whole point, is to take something away from your flesh and focus that time and that energy, all that energy and that effort that you were putting into that one thing, to put it on growing closer with God. Whether that be prayer or reading your Bible or encouraging others. And so that's what I did. So I pulled my pants up and I went forward and did it. And that same question kept popping into my head. Why do I have this craving? Why am I looking to these things? I finally came to the answer that I was looking for rest from these things. Sad to say, I was kind of looking for wisdom and knowledge from social media, you know? And that's the worst place, right? Everyone knows that. If you're looking at social media for wisdom and knowledge, you're at a bad place, my friend. Man, lots of amens. community, I was looking for community. I was looking for attention. And all these things I was looking at Netflix and YouTube and social media for, and I finally like, no, that's bad. Why am I trying to get these things? And the thing is, I never received what I was looking for. I go to Netflix, YouTube, watch 3 hours of TV shows, next day still be tired. And you're like, what the heck? I was laying in bed like a vegetable. How am I tired today? And it wasn't until I realized that I had to replace it with something like reading his word, like praying to him every single day, like getting to know people. I finally came to a place when I had nothing and I could give nothing. I came to a place in my life when I had nothing and I could give nothing. When I was tired and just a lot of bad stuff. My heart was not in love with the right thing, and I suffered from that. My heart wasn't in the right place. It was loving the wrong thing. I was putting the time and effort into the wrong things. And that's what I want to challenge your thinking with, is what are you putting your time and your effort into? What are you trying to receive from this? Because I can tell you guys, I've been there, and it doesn't give you anything. And that the rest, the encouragement, everything that you need is going to come from the Father. That's the only place. I remember this scripture. Yeah, you can come up, Rafa. Thank you. I remember this scripture because I just told you I came to a place where I had nothing and I could give nothing. And that was in my ministry. That was my family. That was my job. I felt I reached an end. And I thought of this verse, and I had this devotion. It's by Oswald Chambers, and every single day of the year, there's a scripture. And so when I had reached this place, when I had nothing, I kind of like a last ditch, last hope kind of thing, I went to the devotion. And the day that I turned to was, the scripture was Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-30. And at that moment, I knew God was listening. And he was telling me that I hear you. I know where you're at. And I have a word for you. And he was speaking personally to me. And he said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find the rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And at that moment, I knew God was speaking to me. He had seen everything that I was struggling with, and he had seen everything that was kind of on my plate at that moment, and he just spoke to me. And in that same way, he might be speaking to you right now. I want to give you guys a couple of practical steps that you can start tomorrow. First one is, ask yourself what you're pouring your love into. Ask yourself that question. What are you pouring your love into? And if you want to take it a step further and challenge yourself, take away the things you're pouring your time and your energy into and watch how you respond to that. That's why I love our fast, and that's why I want to encourage you guys, whenever we do a fast, that it's a wonderful opportunity to grow closer with the Father, to take away the things that our flesh desires, to take away the things that maybe are unhealthy for us and focus on God. And here's the thing, I'm not telling you that that loving your family is bad, right? There's good things with that. But when we put our family before God, then that's where the issue comes in. So ask yourself what you're pouring your love into. And if you want to take it further, take away the things that you're pouring your time and the energy into and see how you respond. Mind you, like I said, you could do this tomorrow. The second is surrender yourself to him. Now, I know that's kind of vague. I was talking about my wife with it, and I was like, I want these people to surrender themselves to the Father. And she's like, what does that look like? What does that mean? I was like, and I was like struggling with it. I didn't know. Well, I was like, okay, surrender yourself to him is making the conscious decisions to grow closer to him. For example, reading your Bible, praying. Set some time in the day, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, however, whatever time you have. I know we all have different things on our plates. So set the time according to what's going on in your life. Pray. Just have an intimate moment with the Father. And love on people. Get to know people. Because here's the thing. Yes, this is important. Working on our relationship with God. Getting to know him. Him speaking to us. Him changing our lives. But this has to happen. And we have to love people. We have to know people, because that's the only way that we're gonna spread the love of Jesus to our coworkers, to our families. There's lots of people in here who know someone that's not saved. We have to get to know them. We have to get to a place where we love him, just like Jesus loved us. So surrender yourself to him, make conscious decisions to grow closer to him. And lastly, share your story and challenge others. Now, this is the great thing, because if you place God first in your life, if you choose to love him first and you surrender yourself to him, he will do amazing things in your life. I guarantee that. That is a promise. So share your story. Share with other people what God's doing in your life. Say, hey, I took this thing away from me. I had this craving, but I decided to continue to push forward. Fill that time with prayer. Fill that time with reading my Bible. And this is what he's doing in my life. He's breaking down this fence. I was actually going to kick it down, but Rafa was right there. I don't want to hurt Rafa. I love you, Rafa. Rafa's the best. So share your story and challenge other people. Get other people on board with what you're doing. Just like I was doing with that guy in Spanish service. We were talking about things that we were going to fast, and we got hyped up. We're like, all right, let's get to this. You know, it was like a huddle before a football game, and we were just stoked. We were like, then at the end of the week, we're like, yeah, dude, that was tough. Because he decided to fast Pepsi or Coke. But that was the great thing, is that we get to share that moment. We get to share the burden with each other. And that's the amazing thing about here being in a church. And that's what you can't experience at like an online church or going to church on Facebook, you know? It's great, but you don't have the intimacy. You don't get to know people. You don't get to challenge other people. I love saying hi to some of you guys because you guys are just fantastic. I love saying hi to you guys. I love saying hi to Canute. I can't pass Canute without him giving me a hug. And I look forward to that every single week. What are you looking forward to when you come to church every week? What are you looking forward to? So let's challenge our worship. What do you love? Everyone, close your eyes, bow your heads. Whew. Man, thank you, Jesus. You are amazing. You are awesome. You're doing wonderful things in this church, in this building. Ask yourself, take this moment right now to ask yourself what you're pouring your love into. Go ahead, think about it a little bit. What are you pouring that time, that effort, that energy into Monday through Saturday? What is it? Then surrender yourself to him. Make the conscious decisions to grow closer with him. And that's a step-by-step process, but that's something that you can begin starting tomorrow morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, man, for your love, for your grace. We love stepping into your presence because you're just so almighty. God, we come to the realization of who you are. We just get a glimpse of that. We just want to step into your presence with full confidence and full authority, God. We ask that our worship be more intimate, more loving. God, won't you just reach into our hearts this morning and speak to that very thing that we're pouring our love into? And help us, give us the strength to either give it up or prioritize it a little bit. Lord, we thank you for what you did this past week. We thank you for what you're doing right now in this room. And we thank you for what's to come. Pray for this in Jesus' name, amen.